So the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, the Mishnah, tells us a machnis adam peirosav mipnei haganavim. Person is allowed to, if he has fruit outside in his courtyard, he's allowed to bring them inside his house if he's concerned that someone might steal them. Even though this might entail a lot of tircha, schlepping in all the fruit, it's something that's permitted in Chol HaMoed. Vishola pishtano min haMishra. If a person has his flax that's soaking in the water, which is part of the process of making the flax usable, he's allowed to remove it, lift it out of the water, even though it's tircha, b'shvil shelo tavad. This way it won't get lost and damaged, because apparently if you leave it in the water too much, I guess it'll be oversaturated, and it will ruin the flax. U'bevad shelo yichavin es mlacht b'moed. This is so long as he does not intend on leaving it over on Chol HaMoed dafka. But if he says, you know, I'll leave it over Chol HaMoed, then I'll take it out, or I'll leave the food in the chatzar, I'll wait till Chol HaMoed when I have a lot more time, I'm off from work. If a person does do that, then it's aser for him to do this on Chol HaMoed. V'chula nim kivnu b'lachtan b'moed yovedu. In all these situations, if he does intend and leave it over for Chol HaMoed, say, I'm going to wait to do it Chol HaMoed because it's more convenient for me, these fruit and any of these any of the things we're talking about is going to be avid lost, which Rashi means yovedu is she'asur lehenos mehen. It's forbidden to get hana from these items. So the very, very important Tosas on the top of the page. Tosas writes on Dibur Maschem Machnis Adam Perosav Mipnei Haganav. Perish betosvos harav debasifas peros ika mlacha. There must be some type of mlacha involving gathering fruit together. Kedamrinim perik ein dorshin. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us. Gavi chag ha'asif asifa b'moed mishari. It's referring to Sukkos. When you gather the fruit, the Gemara says, is it really permitted to gather fruit? It's asr, but Tosas writes, ve'en yodea ma mlacha. I don't know what the mlacha is. What's the mlacha involved? So Tosas says, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us, that the only thing that's asr to do in Chol HaMoed is, its prerequisite is, it has to have be a mlacha, one of the 39 mlachas. But Tosas says, what's the mlacha involved in gathering peros inside the house? He doesn't know. There's no real answer. Some suggest maybe it's ma'amir. Ma'amir is gathering fruit together, making these piles. But the Mefarshim explained this doesn't really. It's not shayach. Ma'amir doesn't apply in this case.
Because we said before that the melachim Chol HaMoed is about tircha, it's not about the melachas of the mishnah.
So he says there are two things. Now we'll see in a second. Let's finish the Tosos.
Okay.
He says in addition to tircha, it also has to be one of the 39 melachim. That's Tosos' assumption. So he says b'tzarchin. Eat tarach below malacha aser is tircha without a malacha. Just tircha is that alone aser? Ki hecha dasir b'prakmatia, just like doing business, a very strenuous business is us, even though there's no actual malacha involved. Ula kaman b'shmeis, and later on amar moed mishum tircha v'lo tircha. But we see later on the Gemara says it's all about tircha or not tircha. That's the only definition, but not malacha. Shema Tosas writes haynu dafka b'davar shu malacha, but maybe it's only tircha if you have the prerequisite of it being malacha. Because again, the Gemara in Chagiga seems to imply that you need to have a malacha. The Gemara in Morikazan seems to imply you need a tircha. So maybe you need both. But then if you need both, he doesn't really know what malacha is going to apply to the peros, bringing the peros inside the house. So he has a bit of a tzarchin. We'll see Tosas later on. Daf Yutes, I think, also has such a discussion whether malacha is also a requirement to be usher on Chol HaMoed, or it's only about tircha.
Where?
No, the Gemara in Yutes in Morikazan, we're going to come back to another Tosas later on. We'll discuss the same topic. So tircha is certainly a requirement. The only question is, do you also have to be one of the 39 malachos or not? Now the Gemara continues in the bottom. Tana, ubavad she'achnisam bitzina l'toch beiso. Now, when we do permit a person to bring the fruit inside the house, he has to do it in a derech b'derech tzina, in a modest, a hidden way where people don't see, not to have so much fanfare. Rav Yosef, havli k'shurei. Yosef had some wooden beams out in his yard. Ailino be your mama. He brought them into his house during the daytime. Massive 4x4s on his shoulder, schlepping them inside his house. So Amar Le, Abai says to Rav Yosef, pardon me, but Hatanya bilvad she'achnisam b'tzina b'soch beiso. The Baisa tells us that if a person has to bring inside his his material because he's scared someone's going to steal it, it can only be done b'tzina. But you're doing it in broad daylight, and that's going to be for hesed. That's going to create a large, a big to-do, and that's aser. So Amar Le, Rav Yosef responds back to Abaye, Tzina dehani yimamahu. Tzina, for this case of bringing the beams of wood, is daytime. Why? Came into Belila, for you say, I need more people to help me schlep it in, I can't see. Ubay meduchri denuri, I need a bunch of bonfires, lights, and fires. Av Shemilsa is going to create a much more of a to-do than it is during the daytime. So it's all relative. So daytime is actually more tzina than nighttime. And that's why it was permitted. The Mishnah now said, Hashola Pishanam Minamisha, a person who pulled up the flax. And the Mishnah went on to say that if a person does mechavin, he does try to delay the work to Chol HaMoed because it's more convenient, any of the work done is going to be usher. He cannot get hana. So again, he has fruit in his courtyard from Elul. He said, you know what? I'm so busy now with my work. I'm going to leave it out for the next 6 weeks. Comes on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and then Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where I'm off from work, I'm going to bring in the fruit. Person does that, his peiros become usher. So the Gemara says, okay, bay minei Rabbi Yirmiya mi Rabbi Zera. Kivin malachta b'moed, the person does delay his work to have it be done in Chol HaMoed, umes, and the person dies before actually doing the work. Mahu shiakantu banav achrav. Are the fruit going to be now usher? Is there going to be a penalty to his children to follow as well? There's a chal, because now the children are inheriting the peiros.
But who knows that you delayed it purposely?
Good question. Let's say we knew. Well, let's say he told his children, or he wrote a ishtar. You're saying, let's say we don't know. Let's say it's a suffix. So, can we assume either way? It's a good question. I don't know. So, let's say we knew, and he dies. So, are we going to penalize his children to follow? Im Tim Shalom, if you're going to say, when it comes to halacha called Tzarim Ozen Bechor, Aser, Kantu Beno Acharav, if the father cuts the ear of a Bechor, I'll explain, we'll look at Rashi in a second, and we do penalize the son, that the Bechor now is Aser, so the son is also penalized. Well, you can't bring a case from there, because when it comes to the Bechor, Mishum de Isur Deraisa, there the father violated an Isur Deraisa. Look at Rashi, the top line. Tsarim Ozen Bechor, Chatach mi Ozen Ma'at, he, you know, nips off a little part of the ear of a Bechor, which makes it a Balmum. Kidei Shei Balmum v'yehe Motor Lo, and it's going to be Motor to him now. The Aser Lasos can Mishum Mum Lo Yebo. The Issa Deraisa, the Gemara, the Pasuk tells us in Parsha Emor, you cannot inflict a mum, a blemish, on an animal, on a bechor, or any kachim. Kolomar Lo Matatil Bamum, Vim Hitil Bamum. If he did do this, the father Kansuhu Rabbanon De Lo Yehenu Mimenu. We penalize him that he cannot get any hana from this bechor. Vim Meis, and if he dies, Ain Benov Bet Nehenu Mimenu. And his children also who inherit this bechor can't get any hana either from this. So do we say, just like a Bechor, we do penalize the son as well? Maybe by Chol HaMoed as well? The Gemara says, no, because Chol HaMoed is only an Isser Derabbanan, we'll see in a second, but Bechor is an Isser Deraisa. Wait a second, we said Chol HaMoed is Isser Deraisa, didn't we say that the other day? So there's also an Isser Deraisa, so we should say, just like we penalize by a Bechor the son because of an Isser Deraisa, so we should penalize Chol HaMoed as an Isser Deraisa. So look what Rashi writes, the next Rashi, four lines from the top, Rishim the Isser Deraisa who? Aval hai de kivin de melacht bemoed lav isur de raisu de ha belob miskavi mutter legamir. This is not the same case. Isur de raisu and Chol HaMoed is something like, let's say, cutting fruit on Chol HaMoed or cutting the grain, the wheat, which is usur across the board. The case of fruit is not usur mid de raisu. It's only a gezera if he leaves it over. But it's not the etzim act of bringing fruit in is not issur deraisa. When it comes to a melacha that might be usher, would be an issur deraisa of Chol HaMoed. We're talking about a type of melacha in Chol HaMoed which is not an issur deraisa. So maybe, although in the case of a bechor, which is an issur deraisa, we do penalize the son, by Chol HaMoed of an issur derbanan, we do not penalize the son.
So, what's the connection between punching the animal ear to the bechor?
They're both situations where we penalize the father. Different situations for doing something wrong.
Okay.
The question is, what?
No, but why the penalty if he did a mum in order for it to be mutar?
No, the Torah says it's also to make a mum. That's the Torah. You cannot make a mum on an animal, a kachim.
He cannot have it if it's Torah. If it's Torah, he needs to give it to Beit HaMikdash.
No, so a bechor, the kohen gets to keep. It's called a kohen. A kohen gets to keep
so
the bechor.
He didn't give it to the kohen. So,
exactly.
Okay.
He said if it's a bechor, I'll have to explain just since you asked the question. A bechor tam that is doesn't have a mum, he has to bring it to the base of Mikdash. If it's a mum, he gets to keep it for himself and just eat it. He said, I'll just cut off the ear, and it's a mum.
So
since we gave him a kanas, we passed it on to the son also. So are we going to say, are we going to also say by Chol HaMoed, where we kanas the father, should that kanas also fall down to the son? We said they're not similar cases. Bechor's and Sderaisa, our case of Chol HaMoed is only Nisra Derabanan.
I think the case here is for the kohen itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he doesn't want to be makriv.
Correct. So then the Gemara says, okay, maybe v'im tim salomar, maybe I'll bring you a raya. Machar avdo l'ovid kochavim, umes. There's an issue of the raya for a person to sell his Eved Kanani. When I own an Eved Kanani, he's a non-Jewish slave who I own. When I own him, I purchase him, he becomes partially Jewish. He actually goes through a process of Geirus and Tzvila and Brismila, and he performs mitzvahs. He performs all the mitzvahs that a woman's chayvin, he has to also be. if I sell them off to a guy, that's also for me to do that, I get penalized. I have to redeem him back for a lot of money. They make me pay 10 times the amount. Whatever the guy is willing to sell him back for, I've got to pay a lot of money to bring him back. So we penalize the father. And then the Gemara says, and if the father dies, we also, the son who inherits the father's money, has to also redeem this Eved back for a lot of money. So we see we do penalize the son. The Gemara says, no, you can't say that because there it's different. It's very serious when it comes to selling an Eved Kanani because every single day he's missing out on mitzvah. So each day additional that he's out by the goy, he's losing out on a full day of mitzvah. So it's a very serious thing. We need to redeem him back, and that's why we pass it down to the son as well to redeem back. But hacha, my, but what about chalamoid? Chalamoid is very, very different. It's not as severe. It's not deraisa like b'chor, and it's not missing out on mitzvahs like the case of an Eved Kanani. So Gemara says, what's the halacha here? Gavra kanis rabbanan v'halesa. Do they penalize the person, but not the son, only the person who did it, and it would not pass on to the son? He's not alive anymore. Or did they penalize the actual money, the work, and that money is being passed on to the son, and the son would be obligated to be, he could not get hana either by the case of the chalamoid. Is it a knas on the gavra or a knas on the chepter? That's the shaila of the Gemara. So Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya. Amrle, tinisua. The Brisa states, Sadesh Nikvasa, Lashon of Kotim, thorn, the person who pulls out thorns from the field on Shavuos, even though it's Asa to do that because that's tending to the land, if a person did do that, Tizra L'motzei Shavuos. He does not lose out on the land. He could still, the next year, in 8th year, he could still plant. Even though he somewhat prepared the ground, he's allowed to plant during the next year. However, if Nityaifa, only Daira, if he does one of those two actions, which Rashi tells us is some form of fertilizing, where you drag the animal on the land, which causes it to fertilize the ground, either of those, which is really enhancing the land, then there's a knas of lo sizra lemotzai shvius. The person is not allowed to plant the following year. It's a knas. Now, that's all about the person who actually did this. V'amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, nakdinan hativa umes. Let's say the father did this. He fertilized the ground, but then he died. Bino Zaro, the son who inherits the land, is able to plant the following year. The knas does not apply to the father. Amma lididei kanatsi rabbanan, to the son, thank you. Amma lididei kanatsi rabbanan, livrei lo kanatsi rabbanan. To him it was penalized, but to livrei his son, it was not penalized. Hachanami lididei kanatsi rabbanan, livrei lo kanatsi rabbanan. See, too, also, when it comes to our case of chalamoid, we penalize the father, but we not penalize the son. Okay, before we go weiter, another two tosasim to do here, a lot of good tosasim to do today. But I do want to make sure we do finish the daf. But tosas, the top line, says as follows. Nityaiva on the daira, bettering the land, perish bekunchus, hainim lacha shabakarka midirbanan. This is some type of action done to the ground. That's only an isser midirbanan. Aval nutlu kotim, removing the thorns, because it's not aim to avoid this karka. That's not considered, pulling the thorns out, it's not considered avodas karka. You're not doing anything to the land itself. As opposed to fertilizing, you're actually enhancing the land. But that's only an isser midirbanan. Ubegitin, and the Gemara Gittin tells us, perish bekunchus, debekapsim lacha derban. Rashi thinks, no, removing thorns is considered a melacha derban. Okay. Now we see there's a melacha derban that's going on here. Says Tosas, tzarch lomer, de'airi bekotim telushim. We must be referring to thorns that already have been detached from the ground, that are just lying on the ground, which could get in the way, but they're not attached anymore. Why, demichubarim, if they are still attached to the ground, these thorns, Kol duhavi deraisa. It would be an iser deraisa to remove the thorns, and that would not be allowed. So Tosafot just points out that we're talking about thorns that are detached from the ground already. You just want to sweep them out of the way. But if it was attached, it would be an iser deraisa. And he goes, how do I know this? Damar de Gemara Shabbos, ha tolish olshin va mizarid zradim im liyafas lekarka kolshu. And he goes on to prove a case from Himlacha Shabbos. What's the significance? So you see, when it comes to Hilchos Shavuos and Hilchos Shabbos, there's a very strong correlation. So Tosafos brings a proof from Hilchos Shabbos that just like Hilchos Shabbos, removing thorns from the ground is an Issa Deraisa, so too by Hilchos Shavuos, removing thorns from the ground is also an Issa Deraisa. We see that correlation between each other. Okay. Let's go weiter. The Gemara, a few lines before the Mishnah, tells us that Amar Abaye says, Naktinan, I'm going to bring you another Raya that you don't penalize the son afterwards. Timei Tarosov. Let's say somebody has Taros. He has, let's say, Truma or Meiser to be eaten. And this guy Ruvain is Tamei. He's Tamei Meis.
Sorry, but here we were able to prove.
Yeah, we proved, yeah. So Abaye's going to bring another case, so I guess another proof. So a person has Truma or Meiser in his yard, and Reuven, who is Tame, let's call him his Tame Mace, he goes to Shimon's backyard and touches his fruit. And he's Metame, the fruit now. And now Reuven's not allowed to eat them anymore. I damaged his fruit. So the halacha is Umes, and now this guy who was Metame, the fruit, the Taros, dies. Lokansu b'no achrav. The son is not going to be penalized afterwards from getting hanah from this fruit, my taima. Hezek sheni nikker, lo shmei hezek. This is a larger sugya Gemara's and Gittin talk about, that this is called a hezek that's not noticeable. If you metame someone's fruit, nothing changes. You can't tell the change. Halachically, there's a change, but you don't notice any change. So if there's no noticeable change, the damage is considered less significant, even though it's still damage. And so he says, so we only penalize him, we don't penalize the son.
He's talking about somebody who's not a Kohen, and it's just, and he watches the Tahara, or anybody just stumbled? Because somebody is stumbling, so what does it affect him?
No, we're talking about a Kohen's only allowed to eat his Truma when he's Tahara.
He's a Kohen.
Yes, exactly. Someone goes to take, someone touches the Truma of a Kohen and Metame it. Exactly. So Abaye says here also another example where we're saying that the father's penalized for being metame someone's fruit, but the son will not be penalized afterwards. Okay, fine. New Mishnah. Mishnah tells us.
No, no. So it says it's not necessary.
What's not?
Right,
you had some haverim, right? They're talking about not necessarily a Kohen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's go now. Vaitin. The Mishnah tells us, Ein lochin batim vavadim ubehema el tzar chamoid. Person is not allowed to purchase in chamoid a new house, an eved, an animal, unless he needs it. You know, his house is burnt down, he needs a new house. He needs an animal to work for milk or something, or he needs a neve to help do some of the work during Chol Moed. He's only permitted if there's a tzarach moed. O the tzarach hamocher shein lo mayochel, or for the purpose of the mocher, the person selling it, who sells the house, who needs some liquid cash, he needs the money, you're allowed to buy it so that the mocher has some money. So there's a machlokas whether or not this applies to other items as well. Tosas writes, if you just look at Tosas, ein lochin batim avadim elo tzarach hamoed, Yosef, who adin shardvarm, tzarch l'tzarch mord. Any other thing, you can't buy a shirt, anything. Not only a house and an animal, anything, any item. It's also to buy unless there's a need. And the Miri quotes the opinion, no, you're allowed to buy other things. Only these three things are also because these are big farhesh, these are public things. A person buys a new house, a person buys a new eved, these are public events. So therefore, that's usher. But something small like buying a shirt or suit, that would be permitted. The Miri end doesn't like it. We paskin that anything, it's usher to buy anything during Chol Moed unless there's a Tzarech Moed.
Even today?
Even today, yeah. Okay.
Chol Moed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
yeah. We'll get there. That's the next part. Okay. So the Gemara says now, we are going very slow today. I'm sorry. My fault. Too many toasts with him. Bai Mine Rava, Mirav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman the following question. Schar Pulash Ein Lo Mayochal Mahu. Let's say a person has nothing to eat, is he allowed to hire someone to do work? So Rashi says, they were talking about a case where the poel, the worker, has no money. So I want to help the guy out. I don't want to just give him stuck. It's the best thing to hire the guy, to give him some work. That's the best form. Am I allowed to hire him to do work? This way, I don't really need the work done, but this way he could have some parnasa for his family. So what's the halacha? Amalei tanina o letzarach hamocher shein lo mayochal. The Mishnah tells us, if the mocher, the seller, needs the money, you could buy from him so he could have the money. So too, if the poel, the worker, needs the money, you could hire him to give him the money. So Gemara says, Amarlei, so lesuya mai, what's it coming to include? My love, lesuya schar pula, is not coming to include not only buying an object, but even hiring a guy would also be permitted, so he has something, some money. Amarlei, Gemara says, no, lo, it's not a separate category. Prushi kumifarish, that's line to explain the Mishnah, meaning, I'm only allowed to buy a house when I need it if also the mocher needs the money. But if both are not true, I can't do it. So if I need a house, that's what the Gemara is explaining right now. I'm not sure how we paskin, but at least the Gemara right now contends it. I don't think this is the conclusion of the Gemara, though.
Probably not.
So if I need a house, I can only buy the house if I could find a seller who also needs the money. If I have a seller who's got a bunch of houses and this is just like another house of his, he doesn't need the money, I don't have the right to buy it, according to this line of the Gemara. So there's no proof right now that you're allowed to hire a worker. All we know from the Mishnah is buy and selling, nothing about hiring. So Gemara says, Asi ve'abai. Abai asks the following question. Ein kosin shtari chov b'moed. This is the Mishnah later on we're going to see in Daf like Yud Ches or so. That person's not allowed to hire a, you can't write documents. You can't sign a check on chol moed. You can't sign things. V'im einu maminu. If you don't believe the guy, you're buying something from him, so you're allowed to write a check or a contract, whatever it might be. O shein l'ma yochal, or if nothing to eat, so you want to give the guy some money, so you could sign a contract to make sure the guy gets money. Harei yichtov, those are heterim for writing things. So shein l'ma yochal, what's that extra case if the guy has nothing to eat? What's that situation? It must be my lavla su yischar pula shmamina. It must be coming to include who's the guy who does nothing to eat. We already learned the heter. If a guy has nothing to eat, you could buy something from him. What's the additional Mishnah telling us? It must be a different scenario, not of buying and selling, but of hiring. That's the Gemara concludes. We can hire somebody to do work if he needs the money. Ask the Gemara, Moshe Rav Sheshes. Chacham Omrim, Shalosh, this is a Mishnah in Pesachim. Shalosh, who, you might remember this, we did this almost a year ago. We started a year ago, wow. Okay, it must have been a year ago we did this.
Yeah, we started more than a year.
Yes, June, right? Beginning of June. So now we're at the end of August, so probably around now is when we got up to this this Mishnah. Okay. Shalosh Umanios. There are three skilled workers, Osin Melach Be'arvi Pesachim, Ad Chatos, are allowed to work. Ere Pesach, we learned in the Mishnah in Daf Nun or so, that one's in Pesachim, that is, one's not allowed to do work Ere Pesach. Two reasons why you can't do work in Ere Pesach. Basic reason is because you're so busy getting ready for Pesach, Matzahs, Karm Pesach, cleaning. So there are three professions that are allowed to work on Ere Pesach up until noon. They are Hachayatim, the tailors, Hasaparim, the barbers, Hakopsin, the launders. Hachayotim, why are we allowed to let the tailors work? Shekin hedyot tofer kadarka b'chol shemoyd. Because look at chol moyd, which is much more severe than Ere Pesach. And chol moyd, we find a heter where a tailor could do sewing for if he does it in a unskilled way. Hasaparim v'akopsim, why the barbers and the launders? Shekin habon b'midris hayam. We'll see the next Mishnah tells us, the next parak rather, that people who come back from overseas, they had no chance to get a haircut. They had no chance to wash their clothing. They were in overseas and they landed, they got back to a land on Chol Hamoed. Or they're in jail and finally let out on Chol Hamoed. They have a heter to cut their hair and wash on Chol Hamoed. So since there's a heter, not a, you know, across the board, but there are some people who get a term to wash the hair and cut the, sorry, wash their clothing and cut their hair, so to Chol Hamoed we could think of a heter for them. Ere Pesach is a heter. So let me review. Sorry. Whenever we find the case that there's a heter in Chol Hamoed, then we permit it to be done Ere Pesach. So these three skills, that of tailoring, haircutting, and laundering, there are heterim in Chol Hamoed, we therefore could permit it to be done on Ere Pesach. Only Ere those
Pesach
three.
Until noon.
What?
Ere Pesach until noon?
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Until noon.
So it's
afternoon, it's
the din of Yom Tov.
There might be. Tosfos actually there says it is a din of Yom Tov. Because since we bring the carbon Pesach, whenever you bring a carbon, it becomes a day of Yom Tov. That's tough. But Rashi says it's all because we're just so busy. We don't want you to forget to do carbon Pesach, or burn the matzah, or make them burn the chametz, or bake the matzah. Right. So Gemara says now, because only these things are only these three things are permitted on Ere Pesach. Now, Yitzhak Adaitach, Schar Pula, Shein L'ma Yochal Shari. Now, if you're going to conclude that a worker who has no money, you can hire him on Chol Hamoed. So then, Shari, Ko Melachos Nami Lishtri. You should be able to permit any Melacha, Deha Ika Shchar Pula Shein L'ma Yochal. Because we said before, which Melachas are permitted in Ere Pesach? Whenever you could find a heter about a Melacha on Chol Hamoed, you could apply that to Ere Pesach. So I could find the guy who, let's say, picks up the garbage. That's not a good Melach, but let's say he picks up the garbage on, and that's his job, he's a garbage man. So I'm allowed to hire him on Chol Hamoed if he needs the money. So I should be able to do that also on Ere Pesach. Or a guy who, let's say, a shoemaker. So if a shoemaker needs money, I could hire him on Chol Hamoed. So since it's a het in Chol Hamoed, I should be able to hire him Ere Pesach. So I should be able to do any single Melacha on Ere Pesach. So it must be that there is no het there of hiring a guy even though he has no money. That's the Gemara's kasha. Says the Gemara, maskula rapapa. Rapapa says, El miyat, if that's the case, bunin lishtru, binin lishtru, you should also be able to permit building. Why? Shekin Kosel HaGohel Rishis
HaRabim. Still talking about the replacement.
Yeah, we're all starting, exactly. We're going to ask that this is not a true heter, that any time you find the heter of Melach and Chol HaMoed, that's not going to necessarily mean it's mutter on Erev Pesach. I'm going to find another case by building where there's also a heter. What's the heter by building on Chol HaMoed? Shekin Kosel HaGohel Rishis HaRabim. If a wall is tilting into Rishis HaRabim, so sir bona kedarko, mipnei ha-sakana. You'll have to destroy it and rebuild it for the sakana. Well, there's a heter in Chol HaMoed, so maybe, but we don't find the heter on Erev Pesach, so we see it's not across the board, that the heter in Chol HaMoed means there's a heter on Erev Pesach. Furthermore, maskla ravina, elamiata, according to this klal, livalvar lishtari, a sofer, a writer, should be able to permitted to write on Erev Pesach as well. Shekein kosin kedushin nashim v'gitin v'shovrim. The Mishnah Yud Ches tells us in Moed Katan that another set of kulas that you could write on Chol HaMoed is if someone's getting married, you could write a Shtar Kedushin. If someone's getting divorced, you could write a get. You could write a shover, a receipt of receiving the get, and things like that. So just like there's a heter writing on Chol HaMoed, so there should be a permission to write on Erev Pesach, but that's not the case. So therefore, Ella Amar Vashi, Moed Arba Asa Karamis, you're asking a steer from Yud Dal Pesach, meaning Erev Pesach, to Chol HaMoed. They're two different things. They're completely different halachas. Moed mishum tirchahu, as we just said earlier, that the whole definition of melacha that's us in Chol HaMoed is governed by the halachas of tircha, uvemakum seder shar rabbanim, and in a situation of loss, chachamim permitted it. And our basar, that's a completely different set of halachas, is mishum tzarach yamtifu, midit tzarach yamtif shari rabbanim, midit lav tzarach yamtif lo shar rabbanim, whatever was needed for Chol HaMoed. You need a haircut for Chol HaMoed. You need to wash your clothing in Chol HaMoed. So, therefore, the Gemara says it's not a comparison. It's not because Chol HaMoed is a heter Chol HaMoed, is a heter for Pesach. Completely two different sets of halachas. Now, I do recall, I didn't double check, but I think the Mishnah Berurah writes there on Erev Pesach, anything that is mutter to be done on Chol HaMoed, he is mutter to be done on Erev Pesach. I think he does write that.
I'm very surprised at the Kotel that it's a sakana, they wouldn't let you do it.
You probably would also, but what we're saying is, initially we thought anytime there's a extreme heter on Chol HaMoed, you could apply the heter across the board.
Right.
So we would say a binyan on Erev Pesach would be permitted across the board. That's what we would have said. But certainly in the case of Sakana, we would allow you to destroy and rebuild it on Erev Pesach as well.
Or maybe they would just allow to fix it without the salt product.
Maybe just knock it down. But a person would knock it down, then we said, unless he would be able to rebuild
it
also.
Right.
So I think any of those heterim would be applied also. I just don't think we'd say if there's a heter on Chol HaMoed for a particular case, we'd apply a blanket heter on Chol HaMoed. Only the way it was permitted on Chol HaMoed would be the way it's permitted on Erev Pesach. So you could only build in a case on Erev Pesach where it was a dangerous wall that was going to destroy, that might be dangerous to people. But to stop and build a house would be us. Okay. Says the new Mishnah. You plan to? Erev Pesach? Okay. Says the new Mishnah. Ein mefanin Mibayis labayis. A person is not allowed to turn over his grains or his other kale he might have. If it's not for the purpose of Chol HaMoed, he cannot turn over from one house to another house, wherever that house might be. Aval mefanahu l'chatzero. But a person may take it from his house and move it over into his chatzer.
I think it's tafatim in general.
Yeah, I think things in general, yeah. So let's look at Rashi for a second. The Gemara is going to be a little confusing at first, but look at this Rashi in the Mishnah still, in the first Y line. Aval mefanahu l'chatzero. V'ham mashmalei. This Mishnah implies, actually right now at least, shemevi mibayis shebachatzer acheres l'chatzero. Person has a house further away from another courtyard, could bring it to a different courtyard. It's a distance you're traveling. You can't go from one house to the next house, but you can go from a house to a chatzer, if it's even though a chatzer might be far away. Then the Mishnah says, Ein mevin kalim beis hauman. Person's not allowed to bring his bring kalim from beis uman. Let's say I think it's talking about a case where he had his suit being fixed in a tailor, let's say, or a car in the mechanic. On Chol HaMoed, you cannot bring it back from beis uman. However, im choshesh lehem mifanim lechatzer acheres. But if he's concerned that someone might take them, so then he's allowed to take it out of the beis uman but place it in a nearby chatzer. Okay, a little unclear what's going on here. So the Gemara asks, "V'hamris reisha ein mefanin klau." We said in the beginning of the Mishnah that person cannot go from one bias to the other bias, but here at the end of the Mishnah, what's the question here? Let's see, what's the shaila?
Safe
Sotre la Seifa Hamatila Lifnat Bibaiche Bechatzer Echad Bechatzer Acher Ezer Echoshet Arabi. Basically, they're telling you that if the woman, you're choshesh, you're still allowed, you're allowed to transfer through Reshus Arabi from one Reshus to another one. And we just said before that you're not allowed to.
Right, so the Gemara is assuming that when the Mishnah says Mibayis Labayis is Aser, it means even Mibayis Lachatzer also seems to be Aser. I'm not sure why the Gemara assumes that. Sounds like it's always Aser to overturn your houses from one place to the next place.
I think the whole issue is there for Shusarabi.
So the Gemara answers though, Amar Abayi Seifa Asan Labayis Sheva Chatzer. The Seifa that permits is referring to a house that's in the Chatzer. So what's Aser is as follows. You can't go from one house to another house elsewhere. You can't even go from one house to a distant chatzar. But you can go from one house to the chatzar, which is adjacent to your house. Every house had a front yard. Their front yard was like the backyard. That's where all the, you know, the kelim were left and all the toys, and they played out there. So from a house to the chatzar right outside would be permitted. But from a house to another house far away, from a house to a distant chatzar, that would be prohibited. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ein Mavin, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a person. You could take kelim from outside, from inside your house. You could put it to your front yard or your backyard. That's permitted. But to take it to your second home out in Florida and put it in the chatzar there, that would be aser.
But I understand this. So how is stalking from his house to the chatzar, but he's bringing it from the Beit HaUman?
No, Beit HaUman is a different case. First, the Mishnah is a separate point. That aim of finding me bias to the bias. You cannot take it from one house to the next house. You can't even take it from one house to another chatzer. But aval, what you can do is mifanehu lechatzero of the bias. You could take it from the house to the house's chatzer right in front, that very same courtyard. That's permitted. Nu halacha. You can't take it from the base uman. That's another halacha now.
Well, here's the avalim choshesh lahem shema ignevu mibeit hauman imisharusham mefnam lebayit shebechatzer acheret.
Right, now then another heter, if there's a concern, if it's the stuff is in the base Uman and you think they're going to steal it there, so then you can move it to another chatzer acheres. That's permitted then.
So this, we're talking right now on the ratio of the ratio. On the ratio of
The Gemara's only, exactly, the Gemara's only talking about the ratio, and the ratio of the Seifa.
Okay.
Or the Seifa of the ratio, rather. But not the Seifa of the Seifa, exactly. Gemara, now the last few lines of the Amud, Ein Mavin Klami Beis HaUman. A person's not allowed to bring any kalim from the manufacturer, from the factory, if he's not needed for the chalamoid. So I'm a Rapapa Badiglan Rava. One time, Rapapa said, one time Rava was testing us. He said, Tanan, one Mishnah tells us, Ein Mavin kalim in Beis Uman. You're not allowed to bring kalim from the Beis Uman. Urminhi, the other Mishnah tells us, Molichin Mavin kalim in Beis Uman. You're allowed to. Afa Pishen and Tarachlamoid. Even though one's not allowed, even though you don't need it, you're allowed to bring it from the Beis Uman. So that's the steer. One Mishnah permits it, one Mishnah prohibits it. So Rapapa says, Shanin Alei, we answered, Rava, our Rebbe, we answered as follows. So Kan Bar Basar, Kan Bechol Shemoi. One case that prohibits it is a Mishnah Chalmoi, right here, this Mishnah, which says it's Aser. The other Bryce that Rava was referring to was a Mishnah about Yudal, Er Pesach, where Er Pesach has more Kulas than that of Chalmoi. That would be permitted. Ibai Zema, another suggestion we made to Rava was, both situations are chalamoid. Kan b'mamino, kan b'shein amino. One is the case where we trust the guy. If we trust the guy, we have no heter to take it out of the Beis Uman. If it's a situation where we do not trust the mechanic, we don't trust the guy fixing it, then we are allowed to take it out and bring it back home, even on chalamoid. V'hatanya, the Gemara brings a brisa. Now, normally the word v'hatanya is usually a question. V'hatanya? Sometimes the word v'hatanya is a support. So Rashi will usually tell us when it's a support. Look at the top line, Rashi. Siua, it's a support. Sometimes Rashi, this is not the actual Rashi, as I said in the past. Rashi Ksaviadi says, you see Hatanya? You guys have, I think, an inside column. He says, Hatanya Binichusa. That's how Rashi usually says it, Binichusa. That's how he knows, like, really, Rashi Ksaviad. That was the true Rashi. Binichusa, in a non-question form, more as a comment, a statement. So the Gemara brings a Raya. Hatanya, the Baraita teaches us, Mivin Kalim Mibesa Uman. A person is allowed to bring his clothing or utensils from the Beis Uman, Gagon, Kad mi Beis HaKadar, he's having his pitcher being fixed by the pitcher guy, or Kos mi Beis HaZagag, or you're having a glass fixed by the glass blower, that's permitted. Avalo temer Beis HaTava, but you cannot bring your wool from the dyer, below Kalim mi Beis HaUman, and you cannot bring the kelim from the say the clothing from the tailor. Harivim lo ma yochal. So if he has nothing to eat, the I guess the worker, no sein lo scharo, you have to pay him. But you can still leave it over, pay him beforehand, but don't bring it back. But if you don't trust the guy, you pay him back your money. You think he's going to take your suit and run? Then you could take it out of the base uman, but leave it in your neighbor's house and don't bring it to your house. And if you're concerned that even your neighbor's going to steal it or someone else might steal it, the neighbor's not going to do the proper shmira, then we'll skip the parentheses. You can bring it in quietly into the courtyards into your house, you know, covered up under a coat or something, and bring it to your house. So we see the case that typically a person should not take it from a Beis Uman, but if there's a concern that someone might take it away, then you're allowed to bring it home. So the Gemara says, okay, Tirtas Mevin, you answer right now the case of Mevin, why were you allowed to bring it? Now, Rava's initial question was, one Mishnah said Ein Mevin, one Mishnah says Mevin. But the Mishnah also said Molichin. The Brisa that Rava asked says, Molichin, you're allowed to send the base, the Kalim, the Begadim to the Beis Uman. So again, our question was only right now, Mevin versus Ein Mevin, bring them back. But to send it, to get the work done in Chol HaMoed, how are you going to explain the heter of sending the work in Chol HaMoed? So again, Tirtas Mevin, but Molichin Kasha. The Kasani Ein Mevin, the Kol Shkenji Ein Molichin. So you can bring the Kalim back in Chol HaMoed, our Mishnah says, and certainly you can't send it away on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right, it wasn't a good answer. We can't say both prices are talking about Chol HaMoed. One in the case where you trust him, one in the case where you don't trust him. Because there's what's a heter ever to send Kalim to the base Uman on Chol HaMoed. Ela Gemara says, Mechavrsa, Kedashin Mekara. We're going to revert back to the initial answer of the Gemara, which was that once Erev Pesach, one in the case of Chol HaMoed. Erev Pesach, you could, in addition to retrieving the Kalim, you're also allowed to send the Kalim to the tailor on Erev Pesach. As opposed to Chol HaMoed, it's aser both to send and to retrieve from on Chol HaMoed. Okay, Gemara says now, we've got a few minutes left. Gemara says, Mechapin es ha-ketzios bekash. So what's ketzios? Ketzios are dried figs. So you're allowed to cover them up. Mechapin is to cover them up, bekash, with some type of straw. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ma'avin. You can even thicken them up. We'll see what ma'avin means in the Gemara. Separate point. Mochei peros ksus v'kelim. Person who sells fruit, sells clothing, and sells, Ksus versus Kalim. Kalim is the utensils. Sometimes Kalim refers to Begadim also. Mochin Betzina, Letzor HaMoed. A person is allowed to privately sell them for the purpose of Chol HaMoed. I'm not sure what that means right now because he needs the money or because the buyer needs it for Chol HaMoed. But it has to be done in a private way. We'll see how that is done. Hatzayadim, the hunters, Hadeshushos. What's it, Deshushos? Rashi says, Shadoshin Rekochin Chitin Ladaisa. People who chop the wheat, and how grusos is also a form of grinding some type of pulin, I think white beans or something. Osim b'tzina, these, what is it?
A food. Fool.
Fool?
Fool in Hebrew.
A fool, even though it's pay in the beginning, it's a fool? I thought pay in the beginning always do a doggish. Pool.
What is it? Fool.
I thought whenever the phase in the beginning of the word, there's always a doggish, so it's always going to be pool.
Not like fool.
That's how you call it.
Fool.
Okay, fool.
Hummus fool.
I think.
Yeah.
Is that falafel comes from fool? Is that what the word falafel is?
I never thought about it. Maybe I'm not sure.
But
hummus fool, it's. I highly recommend it. If you're in Queens, in Omi Pizza, they're selling hummus fool. Unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing like compared to Israel. It's still good. Hummus fool. So fool, it's like, what did you say it is?
Beans, some type of beans, yeah. So I think everyone pronounces Pol HaMitzri, or it's usually a Pol HaMitzri, fool, okay. To start changing the way, fool, okay. Remind me if I do that again, fool, falafel, that's the connection, okay. So if someone has to cut up fool, which is, again, hummus, falafel, osim bitzina, a person should do this type of grinding bitzina. Letzor HaMoed. What? Okay. I'll take you to a good, we'll talk after, okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Heim Machmir Atman. Rabbi Yossi says they were Machmir. I'm not sure who they were, but they were Machmir on themselves not to do it. There were those people, he didn't say who, those certain individuals were Machmir not to do something. I think I was going to clarify what they were Machmir not to do.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, Chol.
מה זה?
With the pain not with the faith.
No, I'm sure he's right. I said, how do you pronounce it? In Hebrew, fool.
But it's
poor. Yeah, I'm defending you.
Okay.
I didn't argue with him. I just said in modern Hebrew.
I'll trust your modern Hebrew. I can't speak my Gemara Hebrew.
Right,
I can't say S when I speak modern Hebrew. No one knows what I'm talking about. I think when the first time I went to Israel, I started like speaking with a suf. No one knew what I was talking about. It's an et.
Uh-huh.
Vayomer. Vayomer Moshe. Huh? And Moshe will say, okay. So the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rebbe Chia bar Abba Rebbe Yasi. They had the following machlokas. V'tavayim mishmei de Chizki Rebbe Yochanan. Both of them said the name of Chizki and Rebbe Yochanan. What was the machlokas? Charam mechapin, aklushim avin. So one said mechapin means aklushay. When we said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to cover up the dried fig so it doesn't get ruined, you could cover it mechapin akluche in a very light way with the branches ratcheted far apart from each other, not fully covered. You just throw some branches and leaves over. Not very sophisticated type of covering. And ma'avin means asmuche. You put the branches much closer to each other so every part of the figs are covered. Okay, that's the first opinion. And charamar mechapin means bein aklushi bein asmuche. No, placing figs, whether it's closely together or more separate, that's what mechasin means. And ma'avin means osin also kimin kri. You create a pile of all the figs. They're not flat. You make this big mound of figs, so a lot of them are covering each other. And then you cover the whole mound with the leaves afterwards. You make a thick covering of it. This way it protects the bottom layers of figs much better as well. And that's machlokas what it was. Tane Nami Hachi Brisa, which supports this last opinion. Ma'avin Ose Oso Kimin Kri. Ma'avin means you make this big heap of figs. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Mochi Peres Ksus Kelim Mochin Betzina. A person who needs to sell fruit, clothing, or kelim can sell Betzina if it's for the purpose of the Moed. Ibarilu. Gemara asks, Hein Hachmir Asman. Rabbi Yossi said that they were Machmir. We don't know who they are, but there were certain Machmir who did not do what? What were they Machmir on? The law of Klal, they wouldn't sell anything at all? Oh, Dilma Dehavu Avdi Betzina. They would sell these things Betzina.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have to sell them Betzina and they did.
Right, that's what the Gemara said. Maybe the halacha was it's okay to sell them regularly. They are just machmir to do it in a more tzinius type of way. The Gemara says, Tanu Tashma. The Mishnah says clearly what the halacha was. Moche Peres Ksus V'Kelim Mochim Betzina L'Tzarech Mord. The Tanakhama held that it was only permitted to be done in Betzina. So Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, Omer, Tigre Tiveria Hein Hachmil Asman Shlo Yu Mochin Kol Iker. Rabbi Yossi said, the merchants found in Tiveria, they're machmir not to sell at all. Yossi Omer, Chayos, people who would hunt wild animals for ofos and birds, v'dogim and fish, tzadin b'tzina l'tzara chamor, they would do it b'tzina, quietly. Yossi Omer, tzadi Akko, hein achmir al, atman shalohu, tzadin kalikr, the hunters of Akko would not do any hunting during chalamor. Deshushi, what does deshushi mean? The Mishnah tells us deshushin was something that was permitted to be done during chalamor. That means chilka. Rashi tells us that chilka is, I think, dividing into two. You take a piece of grain, you split it into two, and then you soak it. Chilka is targis v'tisni. Deshushi chilka targis v'tisni doshim v'tisni. Oh, these are different ways of how ground it's going to be. I think chilka is slicing them into two, and tigris is three, and tisni is four, or something like that. Are they explaining that on the side here? I mean, how many times you're slicing these pieces
three
of grain?
Three.
Yeah.
Tisani.
Right, okay. So these things are doshim.
They're slicing.
I think slicing grains or something.
What does it say in the English?
Grits.
Uh-huh. What are grits exactly?
Do we know?
Grits. That's part of the wheat.
Something, yeah.
Uh-huh, okay. So they would grind and chop these grits in different, once or twice or three times over. So all that was done doshishin. They would do the grinding, betina letzar chamor. That's permitted to done and be done in a private way. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Deshushi Tzipori, the grinders of Tzipori, Hein Yechmir Alasman Shlo Yehu Doshin Kol Iker, they would not do any form of grinding. So Omer Bai says now, we said above, Chilka Chada Latarta, you take one, you split into two. Targis means Chada Latlas, you take one grit and you put it into, make it into three. Tisni means Chada Larba. So this, again, how finely ground are these grits going to be? Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, Amar Kunsa, he says Kunsa. What's kunsa mean? Rashi tells us, are kusemes shalosisin osin hainu chilka. Chilka means, what's kusemes? That's the spelt? Right. So spelt, and that's what a chilka means, a spelt that has been soaked in water. And, okay. So Maseve, Gemara asks the question. Chilka, targis, tisni, tamein, b'chalmakom. That these things are always going to be tame. So this is a mission that's found in Machshirin. So the halacha is that only something that is roi l'achila, when it comes to food items, it's only something that's edible. Only if it's edible is it going to be hechshel to become tame. So these three things are all going to be mechshel l'tuma. How does that relate to our machlokas? So again, we have machlokas. What does chilka mean? Either chilka means a grit split in half, or chilka means a soaked spelt. So bishmal mandamer chadel l'tarte l'tas l'arba. We understand, according to the opinion that thinks it depends how well ground it is, 1, 2, 3, or 4. Mishum hachi tamei mechamakum des kasher. Because by you cutting it up, it's now kasher, it's now roi leachila. Let's see, how's it hochsher now? Now, this is considered edible now. But eleman damar kunzi amai tamei mechamakum. Halo is kasher. If you have a spelt that's soaked, apparently it's not edible until you start grinding it. A soaked, so if it's not edible, so why would you suggest that it can't become tummy until it's edible? So this is a rye. The fact that we say a chilka is edible must be where it's ground, not where it's a soaked spelt. Where it says no, kigon de mekalfi. It must be a situation where you first shell the spelt, and then just by soaking it, and now it is actually going to be edible. Because de lav de shar lubamai, if you're going to suggest that it was never soaked in water, lohavi mekalfi, it would not be considered, it would not shell. So why do we call it chilka? So if chilka, we understand if chilka means splitting in half, that's why it's called chilka. If you're going to say chilka means to soak it in water, the spelt in water, why is it called chilka? The shakel chilkayo, chilkayai, where you take off the chilik of, not chalak, but the chilik of it, the klipa, the shell of it. That's why it's called chilka, according to the other opinion. Macy, the Gemara. Yeah?
Sim chalakim. Chalak, chil.
Say it again, that.
It says, "Kshekasher nutilat klipatam nesim agarim chalakim." That's why they call it chilka.
Uh-huh.
You said another smart thing that you're taking a chilek.
That's Rashi, not my smart thing. Oh. Rashi's okay. So Gemara says, "Maseve asks the question." Let's try to get to the end of this quickly. Maseve, hanodim in adagan aser af bepol befol hamitzri. I knew it would come up again. So the Mishnah says, a person says
by
a nether.
By the way, the rule is beged kefet brosh milah mekabel dagesh.
Exactly.
The rule of bed, gimel, dalet, kaf, pei, taf.
There you go. You know a little bit of TikTok. Okay. So the Mishnah tells us in Dharm, Hanodim Radokan, I'm not going to have any enough from any grains. He's also, even to get from polymitri, because the polymitri is a type of, it's a kidneyos that can produce a grain type of, it can produce bread, like rice bread or something. So, Yavish, if it's dried polymitri, it's aser. For this person who took the nether, even though it's not one of the five grains. However, mutter belach, but if it's still mushy and moist, then that's not considered a grain. You can have the moist full hamitzri. Umutter be'oris, you're also allowed to have rice, bechilka, betargis, betisni, all these types of things we mentioned before. Now, bishma lemandam echad elatarti, echad elatlas, echad elarba. According to the opinion who defined these words as how finely ground it is, shapir denafkele mitars dagan, we understand why these things are not considered Dagan. Because even though we're talking about grain, achita, once you cut it up so much, it loses the status of being grain anymore. Ela lemanda makunsa, if you say it's spelt, dagan malyuhu, all it is soaked spelt. It still has the initial chaloshem of being a dagan. It's still one of the five grains of spelt. Kasha. That's the kasha. Sounds like it's a support that it's not in line with the opinion that spelt. Rather, it's very finely ground grits. Rav Huna, Shar Lahu Lahanu Krufiaisa. Rav Huna permitted the people of Krufiaisa, people who sold spices, Lemeza Lizvune Kirachayu, to go and sell Bashuk the regular way. They could go out to the marketplace and sell spices. Aseve, where asks Rav Kana, Chanas Psucha Listav, Poseach Vino Kadarko. If it's a store that's open up to a stav, which is more of like a market, not an Irish, how do they define stav there? An alleyway or something?
Bench area.
Okay, bench area, off to the side, not in the open area as much. So then you could open up regularly, open the store. It's not such a big deal. But if it's the highways, people will be flooding, then Poseach asks, they have two doors, one door open, one door closed, to somehow, acknowledge the fact how little covered Yom Tif, covered Chol Moed. We mentioned this, it's something like known in Tainus, about the Heter opening up partially. The Erev Yom Tov, Achron Shachag, if it's the Erev Yom Tov of Sukkos, Motzim Ates Shukei Ha'ir B'Feiros, you're allowed to adorn the entire marketplace with fruit, B'Shvil Kavod Yom Tov Achron, to show a lot of kavod for Shmi Ataris as it was approaching. The Gemara says, B'nei Kavod Yom Tov Achron in, Shlo B'nei Kavod Yom Tov Lo. So it only is permitted for the Shmi Ataris, but it had not been for the Kavod Shmi Ataris, we would not allow you to make such a nice celebration or decorating of the marketplace. So what's the question here? So we see if the Gemara can answer, but we say, how come before if we wouldn't permit everyone to sell regularly in the marketplace, but here we permitted it only to do a certain shinoi? The Gemara says, Lokasha, habatper, habatavan. When it comes to throat fruit, we only permitted you to do it for Kavod Yom Tov. Had not been for Kavod Yom Tov, you couldn't do such a big fanfare. But when it comes to spices, yeah.
The question is that it seems that it's only Erev Yom Tov and not Ol Chol Hamoed. No, isn't that the question?
The question, exactly, only Chol Hamoed, but the rest, only Erev Yom Tov. For the rest of Chol Hamoed was not permitted to be sold fruit regularly.
Right.
So look at the last two Rashi, just explain what's the difference between fruit, which is limited in how it can be sold, as opposed to spices, which can be sold freely throughout Chol Hamoed. Rashi writes the last few lines, Habapiri, Sheish Lachshot Shekona Letzach Yom Hashanah. People are going to buy fruit. You don't only buy fruit for Chol Hamoed. You might buy a large portion of fruit, and it might be saved for the days afterwards, which will be a problem. But when it comes to tavern, when it comes to spices, mochi kedarka, you could sell regularly. Kigon kruv v'karshinim v'kol yodim l'tzarech moed hein v'lekha chashet. Everybody knows you're buying it for Chol Hamoed. There's not a concern at all that you might be buying it for afterwards. And then for she'ein roen l'hiskayim, these things don't last for a long time. Hilgach hafil b'for hesher mutter, therefore you'll have to sell them openly without any concern. Hadron lach mi shehafach. All right. Review, so we'll do a review quickly. The Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, we start with a Mishnah about, ooh, there's a lot of review today, ooh, this is a big one.
Yeah.
So it told us that a person is allowed to bring the fruit from outside his house, and if a person does this intentionally on Chol Hamoed, he gets penalized. We discussed, does that penalty apply to the son as well? We said, well, it depends whether you learn from a Bechor. We do penalize the son. From the case of working during Shrias, we also penalize the son. We ended up concluding that you do not penalize the son in this case, just like we don't penalize the son by the case of being Metame the Taharos. The next Mishnah told us that a person is not allowed to buy houses, slaves, or animals on Chol Hamoed unless it was needed for him, and also perhaps needed for the seller. Had a whole discussion, what about a worker who has no money? Could you hire a worker? We ended up concluding that you can hire a worker. We had a discussion, which heter and which melachas can be done in Erev Pesach versus Chol Hamoed. We said in the end, we initially wanted to equate the two. We concluded that there's a big difference. Chol Hamoed is all about tircha, Erev Pesach is all about tzarech yom tov. Then the Mishnah talked about this interesting case of turning over one's house, from moving from one house to the next house, from the base Uman to your house. So we had different variations. We ended up saying that on Chol Hamoed it's usher to do all this unless there's a concern. Erev Pesach it's mutter to do this. Then the Gemara had told us, the new Mishnah told us this interesting case of covering up figs, you know, how to cover them up, you know, lightly, make a mound. We discussed a couple ways of doing that. Then we had a whole series of things that Rabbi Yossi said, even though certain things are permitted to be sold on Chol Hamoed, Rabbi Yossi quoted the different, you know, the trapper, the hunters from this place, and the fish people from this place, all how were machmir not to do it at all, even Betzina. And then finally we had the whole discussion of what exactly chilka meant. Chilka mean ground grits, or did it mean soaked spelt? We concluded it referred to ground grits. And finally, we said there's a heter to sell spices freely throughout the marketplace. When it came to fruit, there's only a heter to sell them in an unconventional way. One, they're open. One, they're closed. Okay. Yeah.